Call to order and pledge of allegiance. We can do this.
Yes, we can.
Okay, let's do the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Let's start from my immediate left.
Joanna Salter is here.
Jeffrey Seib here.
And?
John Capcar here.
Glenn Partlow here. Present. We have a quorum.
Very good. And John is excused.
Okay. Was I excused last month or just MIA?
Well, you're excused.
Thank you.
Excused MIA / MIA.
I apologize to everybody. I just got extra Thursday in there and I didn't realize it. Okay, minutes of the January 22nd. What do we think? Entertain a motion to accept them.
I'll make a motion to accept them.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, old business. Review of the capital improvements process for projects. Carl Cote, capital projects manager. Denise Bevan. I don't recognize the name, but city administration coordinator. I'm tired, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little silly. Okay, what's the update?
Okay, I put together a little PowerPoint here. Basically what I'll do is I'll give you an overview of how the capital improvement program works at the city, kind of steps involved, how we track it, and then I'm going to go into specific on one particular project just to give you basically its duration, you know, as a sample. Here's a project in a little more detail. So what the city has evolved over the years is currently right now, you know, our program, we do a 10-year outlook. So basically we compile projects, we prioritize them, kind of outline them, you know, in the future in the 10-year plan. We just did that, presented that to City Council this past week. From there, in a few months, we'll get into the 5-year CIP, and that's kind of tied to the budget process for the next fiscal year. So we kind of break it down and look at the next 5 years. And as we work through the budget cycle, we fine-tune it for that particular one budget year that's going to be, you know, the next fiscal year.
Sure.
So what's thought about when they, you know, begin the capital improvement project plan? Basically, City Council, you know, every year there's an annual strategic action plan, and it's really long-term needs and priorities identified by City Council. They set goals and priorities, and there's lots of things that, you know, they take into account. You know, there's the fiscal year audit report, citizen survey, you know, our regular progress report, SAP executive summary evaluation, you know, SAP's finalized, you know, it works its way through to the budget, you know, and basically goes around every year, round and round. And, you know, there's many things taken into account. You know, some of the factors, you know, they just don't come up with these projects all the time. You know, there's a comprehensive plan. There's various master plans that have been done over the years, you know, for, you know, like the park master plan and those sorts of things.
Carl, can I interject something?
Go ahead.
Too? Just an example for the comprehensive plan. You know, when we did our pathways along Meltair and Whiteview and all those things, and we've got those plantings that go alongside to kind of buffer the single-family homes for that. That was part of our comprehensive plan objective, is to buffer residential homes that back up to our major parkways. So when we put that plan together, that was one of our comprehensive plan objectives that we said this addresses.
On the citizen survey, I was just reading in the newspaper today of results of a citizen survey. Is that the survey that the city uses to...
Denise was running that program, right?
Yeah, the citizen survey, this is our 13th year. The survey went out in October for this year, for looking at 2014. And we intended to present that to council at Tuesday, but it was pushed to the next workshop. But the information was already posted. So the article you see is tapping into the documents on the website and what was presented to City Council.
So some of the factors, you know, in these planning documents, you know, from are like protecting neighborhoods, you know, maintain the quality of life, capacity issues, and that's mainly dealt with traffic and roadway networks. Level of service, you know, that's, you know, providing parks for a certain number of people and those sorts of things. Emergency response, evacuation, that gets into your fire stations again with your roadway network. So, you know, this is just a snapshot of the 10-year plan that was presented. You know, basically, you know, we have the current fiscal year, we get the next 5 years, year 6 to 10, and then sometimes we list out, you know, there's items out there beyond the 10-year just to show that it's an ongoing program. Like, this is a snapshot of our bridges. These are actually evaluated by DOT every 2 years. They rate them, give them a grading. The grades mean certain things, and we've prioritized work to maintain those or to do repair work on those bridges in our CIP. So this is just the documents, you know, probably 20 pages long, going through various categories of various projects in the city. You know, once we create the 10-year, that kind of sets the priority. Like, you know, when we met with council, we design one year, we construct the improvements the following year. That's kind of the priority and what fit into our revenue stream when we, you know, a few years back. And we've been sticking with that program for now because we had quite a few bridges that were lower-rated bridges that needed to be looked at sooner than later. So as we work down to the higher-rated bridges, that program may change, you know, as we work with council prioritizing the projects. So that's kind of what that's for, is really setting the priority.
Is this what the Palm Coast Parkway expansion is under? That
yeah, and that's actually the sample project I have, so we'll get into that specifically after we go over the summary here, this generalized stuff. Okay. So as we do the 10-year program in a couple months, we'll go into the 5-year plan when working with the budget. And that's where we really plug in the real numbers, the real revenue stream, and sometimes projects need to shift. Or sometimes we can advance projects depending on how the exact funding is going to work out. And then, you know, towards the end of the year, you know, the 1 year budget's approved for the next coming fiscal year. And from there, we have an infrastructure team in the city. It's staff members through various departments that get together and talk about the projects and coordinate their work. This is just a real brief summary of the current fiscal year capital projects, basically the various funds that are involved. You know, we have stormwater, fleet, regular capital projects fund, street improvement fund, utility capital. And this is just a summary of what type of projects. You know, the majority of them are road projects, which a lot of that funding comes from FDOT. So it's a high dollar, but it's most of those dollars are DOT dollars that are in here. And this varies year to year, depending on the grants, and some projects go over year to year. And then as part of the infrastructure team, we go through and we basically have all the projects listed in their time frame of when things are going to occur, and we track them and, you know, check their progress throughout the year. And the sample project I have was a six-laning project, just to give you an overview of the particulars of a specific project. You know, in addition to the city's procedures, you know, this was a DOT project. We work with them heavily, and they have a development process. They have a long-range planning, which is the first step. Then they have a project development and environmental study phase, and then a design phase, a right-of-way acquisition phase if necessary, a construction phase, and then the project's complete. And, you know, their thought process is the minimum time frame is 8 years on a particular project, minimum.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Somebody's alarm is going off in their car, but I don't know if it's ours or not.
Okay.
It's not mine, because mine would be, hey, Glenn, the car is acting funny.
And I have a few just facts on the project itself. Everyone here is probably familiar with it, but just in case you're not, we're basically converting Palm Coast Parkway from a 4-lane roadway to a 6-lane roadway for roughly a mile and a quarter, you know, just west of Boulder Rocks, Cypress Point Parkway, down to roughly the Florida Park Drive area. And this just shows the existing 2-lane road in each direction. We're just basically adding an outside lane in each direction on that side of the roadway. The bridge over 95, when that was widened in the past, it was built to accommodate the 6-laning project. They knew it was in the pipeline at that time. What are some of the benefits? Reduce congestion, increases the level of service of the roadway, and reduce travel times, improve safety for vehicles and pedestrians, as well as the potential for accidents, improve mobility for emergency vehicles, improve Westwood hurricane evacuation operations, provides an 8-foot sidewalk along the roadway and bridge in both directions to accommodate pedestrians and bicyclists, provides dedicated turn lanes, provides concurrent left turns at separate point intersection and Oakings Road intersection. We extend the street lighting. There's some gaps in there.
And the most important.
Correct. We're enhancing the landscape and converting the irrigation to reuse. So.
That should be on the top, right?
And as you'll see, the long-range planning, this project began back in 1989. So that's when this was, you know, first put into motion. Flagler County adopted, you know, the traffic circulation policy, and in there they listed specifically this particular project. January 2000, Flagler County adopted the following policy as part of their updated comprehensive plan. And then in 2003, City Council of the DOT Work Program priority list, which identified this project. And in 2004, City Council adopted the Palm Coast 2020 comprehensive plan that included this specific project as well.
See, the number two was, they said, getting it ready by 1995.
Right, additional lanes by 1995, correct.
So that was took a while.
And the PD&E phase, this is probably the most intense in terms of planning on the project. That is preliminary development and process. And that's a four-year process. In 2006, City Council approved the contract with DOT to move forward. The project was screened through DOT's efficient transportation decision-making process. And this is a very thorough process. State and federal agencies are involved. The permitting agencies are involved. There's noise studies. There's wetland studies, endangered species, mobility. There's lots of factors that are looked at. There's public meetings and hearings. It's a very detailed, thorough process. It takes a while. There's traffic analysis done, traffic counts, all sorts of information. So when they work through that process, right-of-way issues, sometimes with roadway projects, there's if this was Old Kings Road extension by Matanzas High School, I think they looked at 5 different alignments for the roadway to have the least impact to wetlands, and there's different factors they look at, and those are some of the things they look at in terms of selecting an option, which one's the most beneficial or least project with least impact. So the PD&E phase was done in 2010. From there, we moved into the design phase, which ran from 2011 to 13. They were actually finished early 2013. From there, we had some right-of-way we needed to purchase. And some easements we needed to take. We went through that process, negotiating with the property owners, made the purchase of those properties, and the right-of-way was certified, roughly middle of 2013. From there, we were given the approval to move forward to the construction phase, went through that process of qualifying contractors and getting bids and council approval, and construction began in March of 14 and expected to be complete by and the 15.
Now, you had the diagram of the four-laning process, or that you showed. Some of that land isn't all city property.
There was very minor pieces of property that needed to be obtained, like the turn lane from Dunkin' Donuts to Cypress Point when you're heading eastbound.
Okay.
There's some right of way there we needed to obtain.
You see that? Yeah.
And that created a dedicated turn lane there. Okay. Down by just east of where ABC is, there's a bank there. Mm-hmm. They had their property kind of had a small triangle angle into the right of way, so there's this tiny little clip there. And it was mainly, and at the corners of Cypress Point where the two signs are, we needed to clip the corners to get the radius to work properly so we could have that concurrent left turn lanes. So there was a little bit of corner clipping at the intersection right out here. So it was very minor right-of-way that was needed, but there was some right-of-way necessary. And that basically just goes through the process. It's a very long, detailed process. This one took a lot longer than most of our projects. This was, over 25 years from when it was first put into motion. So... be happy to answer any questions you may have.
My question is, you know, in my school teaching, I dealt with a few 10-year plans and 5-year plans. And I always had a dim view of them because they had no real factual basis in 5 years. Like, I can imagine everything was thrown into a disruption here because of the economy.
Yeah, that threw a real big kink in the plan, because at one time the city had dedicated tax stream that ran, you know, a portion of the mill went into the capital improvement fund. Mm-hmm. And then we had the sales tax that was, you know, in there that went away and then got brought back by the county. So your revenue streams change. Grants, a lot of these projects are tied with grants in our capital improvement plan. The state grants dried up for a while there, so projects did get delayed.
So would projects get scrapped in this process?
Well, like, they could. It's possible. Like, Holland Park was going to be constructed, what, over 5 years ago, probably. We're just getting around to doing those improvements now, because with the economy, mm-hmm. you know, things got pushed out.
Yep. Okay.
What other long-term projects do you have?
I don't have the full list here, but, like, coming up or ongoing now?
Coming up.
Well, we have Holland Park. We're constructing the first phase, but again, that, you know, we have some future phases to complete additional improvements there. Those will be coming up.
Yeah.
Community Center being renovated and expanded. That's one of our upcoming projects in the next few years. After Holland Park's renovated, then the Community Center will happen. Then we'll go back to Holland Park and do the remaining phases. And then the project after that one is to complete the phases at Long Creek Nature Preserve.
Okay.
New park on Holland, on Palm Harbor Parkway.
Right.
So that takes us through our next 5 years, basically, those three projects in terms of recreation-type projects. Our roadway projects, we have some of our, you know, bridge rehab program, our street uh-huh. resurfacing. We're looking at adding turn lanes, some safety improvements. Like, Royal Palms is under construction now. We're adding shoulders and a left and right turn lane onto Rickenbacker. Some of our main arterials that are high speed like that with just two lanes. We're looking, analyzing all those, like the White Views and Bell Tears and various roadway networks to determine where we need to add some turn lanes. So we haven't identified those specific projects yet, but those are going to be up and coming. You know, there's quite a few of them, so they're long-term.
How about Colbert and Old Kings?
Colbert Lane is a county-owned right-of-way,
okay.
most of it. There's
okay.
a small segment that's in within the city, but that's a county facility, and I don't think there's any plans there to do any work in Colbert that I know of.
Okay.
Old Kings Road, there's two projects that are ongoing right now. Three, if you think about it. We'll start on the south. Years back, they four-laned Old Kings Road from 100 up to Town Center.
Right.
There's a future phase that will take you from Town Center up to Palm Coast Parkway, maybe done in multiple phases. That is probably 60% done design, and that has been put at shelf because of funding and, you know, not being able to move forward. A project that's under design is north of there, from Palm Coast Parkway north up to Forest Grove Drive. Four-lane that from two lanes. That design is 30% complete, and that would look then to be complete by design by the end of the calendar year, but there's no construction dollars funded yet. And DOT looks at a 5-year funding plan, so typically when you seek money, they put you in the fifth year. We've been asking for several years, and we're still not in that fifth year, so it's at least 5 years out. Unless they decide to fund a smaller phase, they may find some dollars and advance it, but right now we're at least 5 years out in their plan. And then beyond north of there, the county is managing a project for the Old Kings Road extension. It will basically realign Old Kings Road to continue straight from beyond Forest Grove up to Matanzas, and eventually it will continue on even further north beyond Matanzas up to Old Kings Road. But that first phase from Forest Grove to Matanzas is fully designed. It's funded for construction in the current budget with DOT. The county, I believe, is issuing that for construction in April. So they expect to start construction this summer on that project.
They're not going to. They want to keep that hard right-angle turn, don't they?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about as you go to Matanzas High School?
Right. Yeah.
It'll become just a T intersection with Forest Grove, and there's a proposal to actually, once that opens up, to close down the connection from Old Kings Road to Forest Grove in front of the high school. So it won't, that Forest Grove will remain a residential street. Connected with that is Palm Harbor Extension, where they're realigning that.
Sure.
You know, half of it was already built when they did the conservatory. Now we're connecting the two ends. And that's going out for construction. It may have been out this week. And that will start here in several months as well, you know, spring, summertime.
Isn't there a lot of widening going on Old Kings as it approaches the Palm Coast Parkway? They put in some concrete light poles or...
Well, they did that in preparation. FPL was hardening the lines all throughout the city in preparation for hurricane season. They were spending dollars to strengthen their lines, and they knew we were going to four-lane Old Kings Road, so they said, why put in all our new poles knowing they're going to have to move someday? So they put in the new poles where the new right-of-way line's going to be widened to.
Okay.
So they were just doing it in preparation for the future.
I couldn't tell if they were really thinking about a four-lane Old Kings Road there, because it looked like they were putting them in exactly the wrong spot and widening.
Yeah, no, the roadway will be widened towards I-95 side of the existing right-of-way that's there.
Okay.
And so they're basically going to go where they should have gone, well, will go, with the eventual four-lane.
Good.
There was a small segment that wasn't done. There were some wetlands that they worked around. So there's still a few poles that will remain that will have to relocate at some point. But right now they did the areas and uplands.
So that project of the Matanzas Interchange.
Yeah, that's another county project.
That's a county project.
Yeah, that's a county project. That one is, I believe it's out to bid for construction now. Yeah. And a bid's coming in very soon, I believe. And that one, they want to start construction this summer.
Now, the Old Kings Road and Matanzas Parkway and the roads that are around there, Bird of Paradise, they're all city.
Well, Matanzas is county right away as well.
Okay.
But the intent, I believe, from the county has told us, is once the interchange is open, they're going to turn Matanzas right away over to the city and the Old Kings Road extension over to the city after the interchange is up and running.
I'm thinking about that area. I travel it frequently, and there's a large lake. And the school is right there at the where Forest Grove, the high school is right on the other side
It's right
canal.
On the edge of the lake.
How is Old Kings going to continue? Is it going to go right behind the high school?
Well, behind the high school there's a big area of wetlands, then there's some uplands, and then there's the pond. So it's going right along the pond that's there that was dug when they built the overpass. Mm-hmm. They dug that pond, and that pond was sized to accommodate this roadway. So.
Oh.
It was always intended to go there.
That was in a 10-year plan or something?
Yeah,
that was the, way
the,
that
the
was
county had done a study way back when, and that they showed it there. Mm-hmm. That was always the plan.
All right. Hmm. Okay. So go right by there. And that property, all that land around there, is that...
That's all county property.
County property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I live over that way off of Bird of Paradise, and I'm trying to think in my mind how that's going to be configured so that we're not going to have like lots of traffic on a roadway like Bird of Paradise coming off of I-95, sort of intercity or
right. Well, you figure the people that go down Bird of Paradise, if they want to get 95, I mean, Bird of Paradise is more of a residential collector road, so really the only residents that live there are going to be on it.
Yeah.
Now, instead of going out to Belterre, they may go out to Matanzas to get on the highway, because now they probably go to Belterre and maybe to US 1, maybe down to Palm Coast Parkway. People may change which way they go on Bird of Paradise, potentially, knowing they can get on 95 here. But it's really going to be the residents in that neighborhood. I don't think anyone's going to go down Matanzas and cut through Bird of Paradise to get back to Belterre. They're just going to continue down Matanzas and jump on Belterre. It's going to be quicker for them.
One other thing that I want to add, too, is that, you know, with this process, these projects have to go through our city, own city here for a development order. And those plans are set out to all the different departments. I review it for landscape and irrigation. Denise reviews it for environmental, that checks, you know, the listed species and the wetlands and on all that. And utility checks the utility lines where they're being run, so there's no conflicts or problems there. So it gets a thorough review.
Stormwater engineer. So
even if it's our own project, we're beating up ourselves, you know, like... I'll do the design, I'll review it, you know, I'll make sure I did this right, you know. But, kind of like the fox watching the hen house.
But. But that's something fairly new we initiated a few years back, just to make sure all that is coordinated with the various departments, and we're following the same process that everybody else follows.
Is there any estate, a DEP review for some of these wetlands and do they have to sign off on the roadway?
Every process, even on the DOT projects, they do an environmental certification back in this PD&E phase. And lots of times the Army Corps, St. John's District are involved. But again, they're involved during the design phase as well, because you actually have to issue permits. We need to obtain permits through that design process. DOT will not certify that design phase until you show that you have a permit.
So is there wetland mitigation occurring in these on those areas, or what?
If there's direct wetland impacts that trip a threshold to require mitigation, there absolutely is mitigation required. And depending on if it's a DOT-funded project or otherwise, the choices are, there's different choices to mitigate. But always, always.
Like the six landing, we were lucky there were none on the six landing project, you know, because that was pretty much... already developed, you know, there was no impacts. But on some of the other projects there were. I think on the Old Kings Road extension, I don't think there were any wetland impacts. There was some floodplain issues that they dealt with and addressed. But as far as wetland impacts in the first phase, I think it was in the upland part along the pond. So there was no impacts there. But there was, you know, there's always some on any potential project. Like Holland Park, there's some very minor wetland impacts that we had to mitigate for.
Now, is the city involved with the town center, connecting the town center? Is that a private project?
The town center is private. I know we did Bulldog Drive, which was kind of comprised as part of the town center master stormwater plan, their permit, master permit that they had. So we worked with them because we were working off their model for the stormwater improvements, because we were part of their stormwater basin. But otherwise, other than that, we're doing reviews of what they're going to be developing.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah.
My only other question was, are you aware of any attempt to put an aquatic center in the 10-year plan?
A few years back, that was talked about joining forces, Daytona State College and the Y, and kind of several entities, and... you know, someone's got to bring the money to the table. And I don't think
it's on the list, though.
There's no dollars.
Is that on the list?
Yeah.
On the 10-year plan?
It's on the 10-year plan showing that it's an unfunded project.
Okay.
There's lots of projects, you know, that various council members or people have brought up, entities.
Yeah, because I saw it in the paper, and I was pretty shocked, but I didn't think it would ever happen.
Yeah, Daytona State was going to bring a big, good portion of the dollars, and the Y was going to manage the facility,
right,
so there wouldn't be any operating costs, you know, at least for staff.
Yeah.
But... it didn't come together. It may someday, who knows?
Sure, okay.
So for the, on your roads and trails and parks and all, is there, you're talking about Holland Park, is there a certain population level that we get to before you start planning for, say, another Holland Park-sized park?
Yeah, that's part of the level of service. You know, City Council adopts a level of service for, you know, the residents, and we do have some future parks. I think like in Quail Hollow we have a park, you know, I think that's in our 6 to 10 year plan. Well, we identified three areas and there's funding for potentially one of those to occur in that 6 to 10 year time frame. But yeah, there's a calculation that's done based on population. And
is that within city money funding? Is that, or is there other state money available for that too?
There is some state dollars, but it's usually very limited for the grants. We've applied for some in the past and haven't been very successful. Like Waterfront Park, we got some fine Florida Inland Navigation District funding. We had some state funding. We were actually the number three project, I think, for our Long Creek Nature Preserve, but that's the year the governor pulled all the grants, and so we lost our grant funding for that project. But there are some projects that DOT will help fund, like the FPL easement by the tennis center under the easement there right along Lehigh Trail. We're looking to make a trailhead there and possibly a dog park and some other uses that we're master planning now. DOT, we're seeking some money for design from DOT for that, so they may participate in that because it's a trail, it will serve as a trailhead. So,
be good.
And sometimes we work with the developers. If there's going to be a new development going in, we work with them on, you know, lands or sometimes potentially offsetting some impact fee, park impact fees that they have to pay to help generate and build the park. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks, Denise.
Very
thank
comprehensive.
Very
nice, nice presentation.
Both of you. Very nice.
I'm a little disappointed the aquatics isn't on the one-year plan.
Sorry.
You want to donate some money?
Well, we do have improvements for Frida's Dam, a swimming pool in there. I know we have to do some
Don't even get me started. I don't want to hear it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad there are improvements.
Nice presentation.
Okay, update on the Imagine Art Project.
Well, it looks like this is moving forward. The Friends of the Library have submitted their grant application to the Leisure Services.
Excellent.
And the Leisure Services Committee or Board will meet on March 11th to determine funding and how much they're going to give to the different applicants. And then once that money is approved, it goes to a City Council workshop and then City Council for final approval. So the application was submitted, actually signed by Ken Jones, and he put this thing together with his wife, and I'll just, you don't have a copy, but I'll just read the cover letter so you can kind of get a flair from how they're presenting this. It says, we were approached by the City of Palm Coast to sponsor a temporary installation of public artwork called Imagine for the months of April and May 2015. After reviewing the artwork, we decided it fit into our goal of enhancing and enriching the community and will help bring in tourists as well. We are planning on having it displayed in front of the library for the month of April and having it in front of the lake at Central Park for the month of May. As this event was not budgeted by us, we are applying for some assistance from the City of Palm Coast. I have attached our application to our application a collage of various placements of the artwork in order to better visualize the project. Imagine is composed of largely wordplay letters that spell out the word imagine, but the second I of the word is missing. This absence operates as a blank canvas, inviting viewers to physically engage with the work in order to complete the word. The artwork has been on display throughout Australia, New Zealand, and Denmark, where it has won awards and drawn large crowds. Most recently, it was at the City of Boca Raton in October-November 2014, where it attracted large crowds of people wanting to be photographed in the missing eye. This project was approved by the Palm Coast Arts Commission, the Palm Coast Beautification Environment Advisory Committee, and tentatively approved by the Palm Coast Parks Team, awaiting final specs on installation criteria. This project will create an interactive art display that will help show that art can be a destination attraction, as well as a cultural delight in a community. We hope you agree. So,
nice.
I thought that was very well written.
It was.
And we'll see what happens with that, and hopefully they'll be able to do that soon.
So this is only for 2 months in any location?
Yeah, 1 month in each location.
Right.
And there was a talk originally about doing it for a three-month period, but of course that was more money, and the Friends of the Library really didn't have funds, and actually they're being fronted the money by the Gargiulo Art Foundation. They're going to kind of help them blow the money until they can get some reimbursement. So Gargiulo's group is assisting with this. They couldn't apply for the grant themselves because they'd already gotten one. So.
Oh, okay.
So that's the story on
Very
that.
Very nice. Okay, update on State Road 100.
This project, as you were told before, went out to bid. The bids came in lower than our estimate by about $60,000, which is really
nice.
Good. We were able to select an additive alternate to resod the whole median area. What we were doing is just sodding portions of it that would be disturbed during the construction. We had to relocate some swales and do some median tip work, and the original plan just called for restoring what was disturbed, which you know what you get with that. It looks like a patchwork quilt. When you sod it, it makes what's there that you didn't do look twice as bad.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We were hoping we'd have enough money. So I think it was a $72,000 upgrade to completely resod them all. So they'll strip it down, kill all the weeds. And this time of year, when you look out there and see it's green, it's mostly the weeds that are green. It's not grass. So that will be nice. And the workshop meeting was Tuesday. They had a few questions. I think we answered them, and they seemed to be for it. So hopefully next Tuesday it will be on the consent agenda, and they'll pass it, and then we can enter into negotiations with the low bidder.
So when you saw it, you have irrigation here, obviously, right?
We have irrigation, complete irrigation for sod everything in east or west of Oak Kings Road. Well, we're finishing up those last two meetings
right.
that weren't done.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fully irrigated. As we go to the east,
mm-hmm.
We're right now just irrigating the shrub beds with drip irrigation and putting bubblers on the trees.
Okay.
The grass will not be irrigated, but we did size the main line that's of reuse that's going down there big enough that in the future, if we decide to irrigate it, we can add irrigation valves. All we have to do is add the valve and the lateral lines and the heads. All the main line and the control wires will all be there.
Okay.
So we didn't have enough money to do that as well, because this is like a 2-mile stretch of roadway, and it would just be quite an expense. But and we may decide not to irrigate it. It might look, you know, if Bahia doesn't look too bad, if you can kind of keep the weeds under control and mow properly, which once this is done, the city will be taking over the maintenance. Right now it's being done by, I think, the city of Vinnell or something under contract with DOT, but we'll take it over, and we'll be maintaining it more to our higher standards. And, you know, we'll just see. Again, it's like a capital projects thing. If the public seems to feel that we want to irrigate it, we'll put it in the capital projects plan and do it. But I didn't want to put subsized irrigation mains in, and then we decide, oh, we need to irrigate, and then everything we put in would be for naught. You'd have to rip it all out and start over. So we've kind of planned ahead on that. And so hopefully we'll break ground sometime in April and get that project going.
Bulldog came up very, very nice.
Yeah, it's outstanding. That's yes. Absolutely
yeah,
outstanding.
We're getting ready to do the landscape for the high school now. I'm finishing the final plans next week on that. And we're doing a little grading to make it drain a little better. There's a lot of wet areas that don't drain well, so we're trying to improve that. And that'll be kind of resodded in there, too. So that's we've got $75,000 in this year's capital improvements program to tie that in with what we did at Bulldog to make a nice mm-hmm. view and entry there.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Great. New business. I didn't know if Royal Palm's going to be 4 lanes. Is that what they're doing?
Well, the new business, actually, we don't have any, really.
No.
And so that's why it's just there. It's all been there. We've gone to the new format, you know, so it's there whether we need it or not. So we would skip to, I guess, public participation and then discussion of matters not on the agenda. So then just you know, to keep it the way we're supposed
public
to.
Public participation.
Yes, we have some minimums. Sarah, one of our former planners, Sarah is here. Good to see you.
Hi.
And this is your opportunity if you have questions or want to make comments.
Yes, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. First, full disclosure, yes, I'm a former employee. I retired a year ago.
Woo!
And I thoroughly enjoyed working with Bill, Denise, and Carl. They're excellent, outstanding professionals. One question is, will we be able to save the oak trees in the median on Old Kings Road just north of Palm Coast Parkway? I believe those are live oak.
Yes.
They're not the laurel oak.
Right, and they're beautiful trees.
And what happens is we take down our old growth. We replace it with trees that won't reach the same stature in my lifetime. So I don't know if that's something that we can start root pruning and trimming and maybe even relocate.
I've tried and investigated every possibility, Sarah, on that. And I've talked with utility. And one of the problems is one of our biggest water mains that serve half the city goes right underneath those trees. And you can't put a tree spade in there. If there's too much possibility of damage in that line, and that would put thousands of people out of water for who knows how long. But And we looked at other ways to try to do it, and it breaks my heart that we can't. And the actual median has to get narrower too, because we can't get right of ways. Carl kind of mentioned before that we had to buy right of way from ABC to make that turn. On the other side of Wendy's, we had tried to see if we could get right of way, and they wouldn't give us any we can get the improvements in, but if we had to save trees, yeah. We'd have to, and they wouldn't give us the.
Well, I guess the question is, what level of priority does that have? Because to me, we're losing, again, the gateway appearance of the city, something that was kind of gifted to us, and unfortunately, in the name of progress, we're again changing the character of the community, and maybe we can upsize the trees that we put in instead, and I don't know if that's a possibility, rather than more trees, maybe less trees that are larger. Just something to think about.
Well, I have to be mitigated. Just like Carl said, we mitigate for things like that. And those are specimen-sized trees, so they'll have to be mitigated for 70% of their diameter with 4.5-inch caliper trees, which our normal is, for commercial, is 3.5, and residential, of course, is 2.
But what size caliper are they now?
I don't recall what they are now.
I guess my thought is, why do the smaller trees, more of them, why not just do larger trees to be
more? Well, we could.
And look at it maybe just a little differently in terms of keeping some type of a presence on the parkway. The second question.
Wait a minute. In that regard, I mean, that area is going to be pretty well developed. You got ABC, you got McDonald's, you got the Wendy's, and on the other side you got the CVS area.
Mm-hmm. You do have a CVS.
Is there land there where there can be a gateway?
You've got the Oak in CVS.
Yeah.
And if we plan for this now, is there a way to put a counter balancing tree, if you will?
In that old Kings area there. Are you saying that the median will be completely, that median's going to be
gone.
Totally gone.
Pretty much gone.
That median there,
there's not
right?
room for an oak tree.
That little, it's a small median, what does it go from the traffic light that goes in by the Dunkin' Donuts or the gas station there to Palm Coast Parkway? That's where the median
right now
is.
There's only one lane. If you're coming on Old Kings Road going south, there's only one lane that goes straight. Mm-hmm. And with that future four-laning of Old Kings, they're going to need another lane there, plus another turn lane, so it just eats it all up, so there's nothing left there.
But there's not going to be any room there in that whole site, is there, to do any kind of...
Carl needs to get more property. Carl needs to get more property. The other point, then, is Palm Harbor Parkway. Mm-hmm. And I'm disappointed that Denise had to leave, because Palm Harbor Parkway, where the road extends by the Creekside Golf Course, that turn is going to be now straightened out, if you will, and we kind of got pinched years ago when the conservatory went in, because the right-of-way for the conservatory was set, which meant all of a sudden the right-of-way for Palm Harbor was set, and that's going through about a 25-acre upland oak hammock. And I was just curious what type of mitigation for the loss of that habitat was occurring. Not tree for tree, but habitat, like what we would do normally for wetland mitigation. When we have that kind of high-quality environmental habitat, and Denise can correct me if she doesn't think it's high-quality, but you see scrub oak or oak habitat these days, it's rarer and rarer. So what did we do to offset that loss of habitat? In my mind, if we could have purchased more land, especially because what's left is going to be, it's currently designated as commercial. And so that means a lot of that's going to get paved over if it stays commercial. I'm not sure it really will, because there's commercial up in on the north side of Matanzas Parkway. There's commercial land use available inside the conservatory that would face Palm Harbor, Old Kings Road, and then there's commercial, as you know, down at Fellowship.
Let me just try and get my geography set up here. You're saying that on the north side of Matanzas, as it comes over the bridge, That land that's on the north side is commercial?
It's about a 5-acre tract. It was a church at one time. A church had owned it, but then it was designated as
commercial. Okay, then you go down, and then you turn in front of the school, and then there's Forest Grove, and Forest Grove intersects there with Palm Harbor.
Correct.
That extension through there is where you're talking of?
See the new extension that's going to be built. Can you pull up an aerial, the property appraiser?
I'll try. Yeah.
Because 25 acres, you're speaking of just the roadway, right? And you're not, the whole tract of land is...
There was a tract that the road goes through, a portion of it. The city picked up a piece on, like, the northeast side that's going to be for stormwater management. So all that oak habitat is getting cleared out.
All of it?
Mm.
Well, not the stuff the city owns.
And the other owned is...
It's privately
owned, so that's going to be cleared out, too. Someday, probably sooner than later, once the roadway gets put in, right? And you said, you have the knowledge of this. This is commercial
zones
property? Well, I agree with you there on the fact that we should be looking to maintain as much as we can possibly do.
Well, and what concerns me about this area is that it was at one time part of the Flagler County Blueways that was on the conservation and recreation land acquisition list. Yeah. At one time it was number one on the list because the county hired a lobbyist to go to Tallahassee and lobby for the area to be purchased, or, you know, not this particular area, but just in general, so that we can start linking up the habitat with, like, the NERB, National Estuarine, you know, Guano Tomato, thank you, with Tomoka, so, you know, to create this corridor through there. And to me, these large tracts of upland areas are what I was always told were like lily pads for different types of habitat migration.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you look on the map here, this is Florida Park Drive right here. It intersects Palm Harbor, okay. Palm Harbor Parkway.
Yeah.
And Long Creek Nature Preserve is over here. And if you drive north on this road...
And the purple areas are what, Bill?
They're just selected parcels. They're just
recent purchases.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We might be able to turn them off.
So we're heading north. Now, okay. Right here.
Ooh.
This makes this left-hand turn, real mm-hmm. sharp turn.
Yeah.
What we're doing is taking this road and kind of going in a diagonal.
You can kind of see
that line right there.
Yeah. I see.
Going,
it.
And it'll connect right into this existing road here by the conservatory. So it'll take out that thing, and then right
corner.
In this triangular area that Sarah was referring to, that's where the stormwater retention for the roadway is going to go. And then
that's a pond.
Yeah, a pond. And then Forest Grove, which is now a through street here. They're going to put a cul-de-sac in here at the end, so it'll kind of dead end here, so that this won't be a thoroughfare anymore. That if you want to get to the interchange, then you'll take the Old Kings Road extension up straight up to the interchange. Or if you live over here, you'll be able to take this straight over there. So, you know, it'll help alleviate some traffic issues there. Now, I looked at this parcel here, and right in this area here, there are some specimen trees. In this north end of it.
Mm.
And I've talked to the designers of the thing to try to see if we could kind of meander the pond to kind of work around them and save it. And evidently they're right at the capacity. They have to have all the area they can to accommodate the stormwater. And unless we purchase more property to put it on.
And well, who owns the property that's on the other side of the pond?
Over
the roadway. No, on the... That big tract there, is that all city property?
No, that's privately held. And then there's four lots down there that are privately held too. But the city got the land for the pond.
That property.
I believe the same entity.
Moreno Eucalyptus LLC. Somewhere, place out of California.
LLC, okay.
Well, Bill, I think we should push them into doing that. I think we need to save those, some of those trees.
It's in the final design, though, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I bring it up because, in my mind, if this is upland and we say in our comp plan that we're supposed to be preserving, you know, unique and rare communities, then the city needs to incorporate some more land acquisition measures, I think, so that that happens. So
yeah, I mean,
I don't know how that gets
translated. To me, it isn't a huge bunch of specimens. I mean, it's just a few specimen trees. I mean,
it's more than just a few trees. It's all the shrubs and the vegetation, and there's lots of wildlife that's in there. I've been there, and I know that there's wildlife in that area.
The city should not skimp it. It's going to be the city of trees. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to look at their own actions.
Yeah, no, I will say we're planting a lot more trees than we're taking out. We're planting street trees all the way up and down this road.
I don't care about
replacing all these here. Extending our multi-purpose path, putting in some of the benches with the trees around the benches. And, this area could be a little mini city park someday, and then, you know, we could do something. Now, one thing that I have been asking about, this old roadway section here, the asphalt road, it's going to be abandoned, basically. And I had asked what's going to happen with that road. Are they going to take it out? Are they going to, put fill over it? And I guess they still have to get back there. There's a lift station back here that the city has to access, so they have to have some sort of road. But it's usable property. We could, berm over it and replant, an upland or something back in there, kind of restore it. It would be a park project, that would have to be funded. But, right now there's not the dollars to do that. But we have the potential in the future to do that. And I'm pushing to put a fountain in this pond as well, which probably won't be paid for.
But I guess what can we do to help you in the future? I guess it's kind of like we need to know up front where the city thinks the habitat is, so that it's not local knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's more of a question of Denise. So, and I'm not sure how many cases of like this we're still going to have, other than potential road widenings and retrofitting for stormwater. So that we don't run into these situations. And I would put that on a list of potential acquisition in the future.
And run into them where it becomes public knowledge after it's already sort of being set up and ready to go. So there's little that can be done.
Well, Denise looks out for stuff, and I do look out for stuff too, but sometimes, we're our hands are tied.
Let the public know. The city should be just as responsible for protecting the value that we have here.
Well, it's not that we're breaking rules and doing something that a developer couldn't do. I mean, uplands are not protected. They're not like a wetland.
Well, but our comp plan says that we will protect unique and rare communities. And I guess if this, to me, is a scrub oak habitat, then, did we do enough? Could the budget have been a little bit bigger? And that's not on your plate.
Yeah.
That's on the plates of people who were here previously. So I would like to see, whether or not this group can make any kind of...
Well, this group, they can make recommendations to city council, but it's not binding. It's not something that city council has to acknowledge. I mean, it would be given to them for review. The city council members, they have an ear. And when a city council member brings something up for discussion, it's discussed. And then when time comes around, if they feel that's important, they ask for that to be put into capital projects. That's what we're going through right now with our budgeting process, is that, like Carl said, we put these projects on the list, and we put the suggested funding, and if something happens to come up that, hey, we really need this, but it's not in the budget, then we look and say, okay, which one do you want to drop? Which one do you want to bump? And that's what has happened at Holland Park. It's got bumped because these kind of things have come up, and it kind of put it, can we do it? Yeah, we can do it. It's just a matter of priority.
Well, one other thought. along those lines, you know, the state of Florida, I'm so proud of everybody for voting yes on Amendment 1.
Yes.
Passed at 75%.
Yes.
75% rate. So there's still an expectation out there that we're going to incorporate these areas and try and preserve them. And again, I see that chunk of land there, and I look at everything else, and you know, the creekside has some environmental areas on it, environmentally sensitive areas on it, the Matanzas area that was purchased for mitigation, and this is kind of one of those resting spots, if you will, for wildlife, the lily pad concept that Denise always talked to us about. Yeah. So, you know, what can we do now? I think that's a discussion that maybe the city needs to have.
Yeah.
Now, and especially in light of the fact that the money is going to start coming back for land acquisition at the state level. And when this was on the Carl list of the number one things that needed to be purchased, you know, you don't want to be taking actions that are going to degrade that purchase. You know, and the state says, well, you know, you're in a fight here with 67 other counties. You lost your chance. We're going to go to a county that's in a little bit better position. We're in really good shape in Flagler County because we've got a matching program, if you will, with the county's program for acquisition. This would not trigger that, but I do think there's some momentum there that we can possibly capitalize on.
Yeah, I mean, the environmentally sensitive lands with the county. Now, you know, they probably wouldn't consider this environmentally sensitive. I mean, it's such a small piece. It doesn't connect so much. I mean, it does have habitat. It is a value, but it, you know, when you weigh that against another project that might have this huge wetland system that,
I know.
You know.
And on this one, you know, people say, well, that's awful small, and, you know, it doesn't connect. Look up. It's part of the Great North Atlantic Flyway.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's a good point, too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I'm hearing you say is the things that I've been asking, we've been talking about a bit, I've been asking Bill, and I'd like to kind of talk about it, and that is getting that information out, you know, to us and then to anyone else. And I didn't know that was in the works, and I think that items like that are something that we should look into here, because I believe that it's part of our function as a committee to look at these areas and see what we can do to help to maintain them if we can, if it's possible, and if they're something that's of value to maintain, and that is of a value, and it is a part of a migratory birds and also the native species.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, by the time, as a project begins, you really don't know what it's going to be like, you know, until it gets further down the line. Now, maybe halfway through, you know, we get 60% plans or something like that, you know, and those, at that point, you still have a little bit of wiggle room. You know, we could have Carl come in and, you know, capital projects and do a little presentation on it, you know, but...
That's not a bad suggestion, 60% that he presents to everybody.
That would be the time to you know, make those. I mean, it's still, at 60%, you haven't put a whole lot of engineering into it, and it's something that could pretty easily change, but if you wait till it's like 90% or 100%, it ain't going to happen. It just, we don't have the dollars to pay for redesign for the whole thing, and it'll shoot the project budget to
hash. That should be a flag then. Do it as soon as possible. Yes. Get the information out. Let folks think about it a little.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it back to my boss and see if that's something we can do. And, you know, we could review all the capital projects if you want that involve, you know, land development like that.
Maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea. Do we need a motion to do that here on the committee, or can we just do that? Can we just go forward with that?
I agree.
I
mean, it's the way they're taking it. Unless there's a motion or something, you don't get a lot of detail on the minutes. So if that's what you want, I would.
Let's bring this item to the attention of Carl and Denise.
Can we make a motion to bring it to the attention of Carl and Denise?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'll make a motion that we bring this item up. What we're discussing here,
60% complete plans come back to you?
Yes, from an environmental standpoint as to how to...
What are you giving up? Please come forward.
Yes, so I'll make a motion that we go ahead and bring it to their attention and see if we can get more information on what's coming up and where on so this one in particular, and then what else is going on. I know there's a giant project on the western part on the other side of US 1 that is in some stage of
yeah.
going on.
That's a DRI there, the Meoga Lakes and the Old Brick Township. That is a, like Carl said, that's a 20-year project, 30-year project, but we haven't heard anything from them lately. Of course, I haven't. I don't know. I don't usually see them until they come back for their MPD approvals and things, but we have reviewed their plans and their...
Do they have a plan?
They have,
so they have something we could look at like this mm-hmm. that would show where they're going to put in and what they're going to save, mm-hmm. What will be preserved?
Yeah, they have a draft of, I think Sarah probably worked on that. I mean, didn't they
actually
have
it? I didn't. They are still at probably a 50,000 view. I don't think they would have enough detail.
Very conceptual.
Yeah.
Need a second to the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, John. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
You have an exceptional staff. You really do.
Thanks.
Any, Jane? Did I see a hand go up?
Just said, good.
Okay.
Your turn. Jane Culpepper, for the record.
Okay. Discussion of matters not on the agenda. I was just wondering about the, is it a four-lane expansion of Royal Palm from US 1 to Belterre? I see a lot of construction on that strip, that 3-mile strip of land, and I didn't know, I couldn't tell by their procedure whether they were widening Royal Palm to 3 or 4 lanes.
Oh, no, that road, it's just some shoulders being put on. They're not increasing the lanes, and they're putting some turn lanes on at Rimfire and some of the other streets and putting a shoulder on the road.
Yeah, I just couldn't tell from their method of construction, if they were really planning on a 4-lane. And
eventually,
what would happen when they got to the bridge at Belterre, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. That may be someday, but that's, you know, probably more than 15 years down the road, 10 to 15 years.
Okay. And the other one was there some discussion in the past about plants being put around those retention ponds at I-95 and Route 100?
Yes. In fact, the plants are, we got some prices, and then we saw that we're starting to get some natural recruitment of plants coming in, and I'm working with the Public Works Department to encourage that so that we don't mow them down or spray them or kill them that we can get that natural recruitment coming back. And it was, I got some prices, it was like $15,000 to do just a minimal.
Oh, listen,
planting.
Just encourage that. It wants to come back. It's
it
the
does.
Maintenance people that kills it all.
Right, you're right, Jane. And Jane actually pointed out on Palm Coast Parkway, where we're doing the 6-laning right in front of where Steak and Shake is there's a ditch there. And it had some really nice wetland plants in there with the purple flowers. And our public works didn't know any different. They just mowed them all down. And she said, oh, they just did that, you know. And we started talking to educate the public works about what's good and not. So now that area's been cleaned and stripped, and now it's still a low area. So, and it was still planned for sod. So I'm working with the contractor now to do some trade-offs with some trees that we don't need because they're going in areas where we already have trees that we saved, and using those dollars to plant that up in some kind of a rain garden type of thing. So I think we're going to be successful in that happening.
So the plantings on that I-95 retention pond thing, that's on hold for the moment and seeing how we do with
We're going to try to recruit what's there.
Okay. I just hadn't seen any plantings, and I knew that we had talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bill, I thought he had mentioned that well, because of the amount involved, the dollar amount, that it was really not feasible at the time, and so that we would try to look at the natural recruitment. But I think in that regard, there needs to be some guidelines to the landscaping folks as to how far close to the bank or to the water's edge or to the high water mark on those ponds they need to go, because if they go all the way down right to the water's edge, then there won't be any recruitment.
No, that's not the idea. Yeah, and you know, I've got some dollars I need to keep for other things in that interchange. Some of the plants have died, you know, the existing shrubbery and stuff. I've got to replace that. We've had some of the irrigation lines and electric lines. If you notice, we don't have uplighting and hardly anything there anymore except for the signs itself, and because the lines have all been cut and severed by all the turn lanes that DOT has put in. And of course, with the pond work, we had some cut there. So I'm trying to save a little money in the projects to kind of help put that back too. So,
okay.
But as long as that, we can kind of educate the maintenance people so that they don't keep killing it with herbicide or mowing it.
That pickerelweed, that's
fine. Pickerelweed, that's what it was.
That's very tough if you just stop cutting it back and spraying it and running.
Yes.
And it had some parrot's feather that grows in the water along there too. It was beautiful. And I don't think what else. But I would really like to encourage that. Any way I can, maybe I can buy some plants.
You're good at that.
Boy.
Appreciate all the stuff you've done in the past for us.
They cut them down, though, along the linear park, remember? We planted out there, and the maintenance people mowed them all down.
Yeah.
I thought we can never win anything, because the maintenance people never know to leave anything alone.
Well, I know a long time ago when I worked for ITT, before I worked for the city, and at the interchange of Pumpkins Parkway, we had a wildflower program. All those berms were covered with wildflowers. And they just looked beautiful. And one time the maintenance people mowed them down at the wrong time, and that didn't help. And then, of course, the public, you know, wildflower gardens don't look so good this time of year. You know, and they complained about the way it looked, weedy and this and that, and you know, they wanted the manicured look. And
you don't want to go seed heads.
We kind of lost out there, but so we've tried it, and our sheriff, Jim Manfrey, is pushing to do some wildflower plantings in the median of US 1 from Bunnell up north, and he says, you know, why can't we put wildflowers in there? We can, you know.
Somebody said, I don't know why they're doing all that over in Bunnell, because they don't care. They won't keep it up.
Yeah, well, they're under contract, I understand, for a year. The guy who installed it has to maintain it for a year. After a year, we'll see. You know, that'll be the true test. So.
Well, I was very pleased to see this.
And it does look nice.
Yeah, they have done a great job with that along the 100 there.
Please,
very
pleased.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second it.
Third it. Fourth it. All in flavor?
Aye. Aye.